Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to be sharing with you today. I was speaking with Bill the other day, and he wondered if we could still share in communion together, albeit in our own homes at roughly about 10 o'clock this morning. I thought that was a wonderful idea. So what I'm going to do this morning is lead us through our time of communion as if we were at chapel. And if there is any point as I go through I'm going too fast, well, just feel free to pause me. Something that Melanie would love to be able to do. Then after I've shared communion, I will share something that I read from the Word for today. It's an old copy, a couple of years old, but it was very fitting with the way I was thinking this week. So let's share communion together. Let me first read from the Bible, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. And this is what it says. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If you'd like to take your bread at this point, I'm going to pray over it together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We thank you that Christ lives in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, setting us into a family of believers, the body of Christ, your church. And now we receive this bread as the body of Jesus broken for us. Amen. Take the bread, and break that bread, Christ's body broken for us. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let us eat together. Now, if you'd like to take your wine or your juice, and I'm going to pray over that at this point. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we give thanks for this wine, this juice, and we ask you to bless it as a symbol of Christ's blood, shed for the remission of our sins. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, your only Son, to die for us, washing us clean and bringing us peace with you. Amen. The cup of the new covenant is Jesus Christ's blood shed for you. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let us drink together. Amen. To finish this part of communion, I'd like to pray. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this time which we have set aside to remember again the sacrifice of Jesus, your Son. We bless you and thank you, Jesus, for dying in our place so that we may have life in all its fullness. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who sets us together as a family in your name. We bless you this morning. Amen. Amen. I've been very encouraged by the response of the church with you all, as you've shared with each other. You're such an encouragement, whether it be through phone calls, whether it's through emails or WhatsApp, the words that are being shared with each other, it's so encouraging. And in such difficult times, it would be so very easy to become quite angry and actually have a bad attitude towards life because of what's going on at the moment. But seeing how everyone is loving and caring for each other just proves actually that life is what you make it. And that leads me on to this reading, which I'm going to share with you now. With the title, this is 2-year-old reading from the Word for Today. I stumbled upon it. And the actual line for the title of this is, "Life is what you make it." It's very, very wonderful little account here. So the Bible reading that goes with this is Proverbs 15, 15, and it says this: for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Let me share this with you this morning. The title is Life is What You Make It. The story is told of a wise old man. Every day he and his granddaughter would sit outside his petrol station in rocking chairs, waiting to greet tourists as they passed through their small town. One day, a tall man with the appearance of a tourist started looking around like he was checking out the area for a place to live. "So what kind of town is this anyway?" he asked. The old man replied, "Well, what kind of town are you from?" The man replied, "One where the people are critical to each other. It's a real negative place to live." The old man said, "You know, that's just how it is in this town too." Later, a family passing through also stopped for petrol. The father stepped out and asked the old man, "Is this town a good place to live?" "Well, what about your town, where you're from?" he replied. The man said, "Where I'm from, everyone's close and always willing to lend a helping hand. I really hate to leave it." The old man smiled and said, "You know what? That's a lot like this town." After the family drove off, the old man's granddaughter looked up and asked, "Grandpa, how come you told the first man this was a terrible place to live? And when the second family asked, you told him it was a wonderful place to live?" The old man looked into her big blue eyes and said, "Sweetheart, no matter where you go, you take your attitude with you. And that's what makes it terrible or wonderful. Yes, life is what you make it, which is why the Bible says, for the happy heart, life is a continual feast." I thought it was quite right to share that with you all this morning. Life is what you make it. We could all go around with a bad attitude from day to day, but let me tell you, you're all a blessing to me. I love you all very, very much indeed. I'd like to close with a blessing. Keep praying for each other and loving each other. And I'll just close now with a blessing. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.